welcome to your Friday post game. I'm your host, Malcolm Fletcher, and with me we have.
Don't hang up. Go ahead, have your phone call.
Call Mac and put him on speaker.
No. I'm dedicated to the show.
It was only important enough to ruin the first 5 seconds of the show.
Yeah.
It's part of the charm of the show.
As long as we get off on the wrong footing, that's what matters. So, Steve-O, as you know, everybody knows Steve-O, you love him.
He's not everyone.
Come on, you've read the comments, you know. Kim Horcher.
Everyone loves Kim.
First time ever on the Friday post game.
No way.
So be nice to her in the comments section.
I feel like I've done it, but.
I feel like I've done it before.
Like years ago.
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't a Friday post game. It was a different post game.
Well, you've done post games, obviously.
But I've done post games.
No, not the Friday post game. I believe me, because you're my white whale.
Most of my post games involve Cenk.
Hey, no need to get racial.
There's three.
Wow.
There's three white whales.
She's
you,
Asian.
JR, and Cenk. The crazy thing is that Cenk actually responds to my emails and says, "No, I'm sorry, I can't make it." Like he ever is going to have time to do this in the middle of the day.
And
we shoot these on
just,
Thursdays, by the way, in case you're wondering why I say
the
middle of the day. But JR just does not.
JR, he
does
and not I just ignore emails. You.
Does he respond to anybody else's emails, or is it just me?
Your emails are like, "Hey, seven people, can you do the post game, maybe?" And if it's that many people you're emailing, most of them are just going to be like, "I'm going to wait."
Someone else will.
I would think that people would be eager, jumping at the opportunity.
You'd think.
So one of my great pet peeves of my job.
Brett Ehrlich, by the way, is the
Brett Ehrlich.
Sandra Day O'Connor. I was a Supreme Court justice. Nice to meet you.
I can't stand the poor email etiquette of this company. People just don't respond to emails.
Because we get so many.
To be fair,
Matt doesn't respond to my emails.
He's one of the people I'm annoyed by.
Matt responds in due time.
I use my normal personal email and I use my TYT email so little that I'll like just not do it for a week and go back and be like, "Well, why didn't you do that?" I found a lot of them that I haven't answered. Most of them say you're fired.
Yeah, so that's
and
your
I say,
excuse.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I'm just going to keep coming back.
Yes, you're setting up the excuse for when you don't respond to people's emails. That's good. That's smart.
But this is a great panel, though. I've never been on a panel with Brett and Kim and Malcolm.
No, we're going to blow it out of the park, whatever that means.
We're going to blow it until it's out of the park. That's what that means.
That
so great. The first thing
we
I want to do
it in the park.
Is, as I always do, I try to have a topical image behind us. This is of a rocky portion, obviously, of Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Really?
Which
that explains the Hawaiian or the Norwegian music we heard on the way in.
It's the 115th anniversary of the contract signed between the United States and Cuba for the lease of the Guantanamo Bay naval base that was signed by the Cuban government under duress. We had basically taken over Cuba after the 1898 Spanish-American War and told them what the terms were going to be, and they said, "Hey, that sounds good to us, you guys with all the guns." So we have been leasing it, and it was $2,000 a year in perpetuity. I think maybe it was bumped up to $4,000 a year in the 30s or something. But since the rise of the Castro regime, they have stopped cashing the checks and been telling us to get the F out. But we're
so leases in perpetuity are not legal usually. I know this because I went to law school.
Right, but that's a contract between two parties within the same country. Mm. This is not. This really wouldn't. This lease would not.
Listen
hold
to Malcolm. He didn't go to law school
because it's an international treaty between two non-equal partners.
Is that right, Professor Malcolm?
Yes.
You know what I love about this?
Hey, who
story?
Read the Wikipedia entry on Guantanamo Bay? Me or you?
How ridiculous is it? Like the war is over. Many are dead. People are still struggling to survive. Now at gunpoint, we tell you, sign this lease. If you don't sign this lease, and no dogs, it says here,
right.
No pets.
Yeah. Well, curiously
we won
enough,
the war. You have to replace the carpet every 10 years.
I think Brett's point is correct. Like it's weird. Like you just won. So people have died. But now you're gonna make it all official, and you're gonna sign this piece of document that says you can lease this place for $2,000 a year. Why don't you just take it? You won. Just take it. I'm not saying that that's what you should do, but I just don't understand why you kill people, and then all of a sudden you're like, let's be all legal about it.
It's so BS.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's also like, he was like, we want you out, and America's like, but we have a lease. You have a copy. I have a copy, and one was notarized.
Yeah. I don't know if they got if we gave them first and last month's rent or first and last year's rent. But the Castro, since Castro, they haven't cashed the check. It was maybe the first year they did, but since then they refused to cash the checks.
Good.
But so anyway, Guantanamo Bay. That's their little brief little history. I wanted to next thing I want to do is thank Carinola, who was a super fan who flew in from Japan last week to participate in the Friday post game with Dave and Steve. I mean with Aaron and Steve. Dave's gone for 2 weeks in a row now. That's tough.
I don't know what's going on.
So yeah. Karen was great. She brought presents. She gave me a wok.
Which sounds like a what?
A wok. It's an odd gift, but it was actually very useful. We've already used it multiple times.
She gave me a Gudetama face mask.
I got it. That's the egg.
That's the Sanrio character. It's an egg and it has a butt.
I got a mask. I got a mask that said Harajuku.
All I got was a pen. It was a great pen. It's an erasable pen. But you know, I like almost sort of coordinated her coming over, and these sound like even better gifts.
She's great.
But
I do love my pen. Tips on what to do in Japan before. I was like, oh, it's you.
She's a frequent commenter. So we love Karen. Thank you very much for being on the show last week, and I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Last thing before we get to I want to do two things. First is Inside Baseball. Did you all attend? You attended last week's party. Mm-hmm. At the in downtown for Kim was there. Were you there? Okay, so Kim and Steve, any thoughts, any reflections, any
true stories
thing you'd like to share about true stories of,
well, Brett
of horror?
Didn't show up.
I flaked.
So you were supposed to go.
I was supposed to. I was here, but I found out that I left my wallet at home, and I was like, and then I was home, and I live far away, and it's LA, and once it's 20 minutes or more from driving, you don't have to do anything, so I just stayed home.
Okay, so that shows a level of commitment.
I watched it.
To
I watched
fans.
The whole thing.
Brett and I hosted the second hour that day, so it was kind of pushing it on time.
And did you enjoy meeting the fans? And,
I was surprised because people came up to me, and they weren't people who you might expect. In my demo for Nerd Alert, they were adults. and they were talking to me and talking about what was important to them, and they watch my videos, which confuses me, but I enjoyed it a lot.
No, it confuses you because not that many people watch them, or because it doesn't appeal, you can't understand what your own appeal is?
I think it's sometimes hard to imagine that people actually appreciate the things you do.
Right.
You know, just for me, maybe not you.
Yeah, no, it's a self-esteem issue.
Yeah, I'm shocked when people don't appreciate what I do. I get very angry at them.
What do you do?
Fight them.
Nothing.
I do
this. Were on the phone saying, like, that guy reminds me of my job. He just faked it the whole time. Didn't do any work. I literally heard that.
I know.
Deny it. I dare you.
I can't have said that in front of other people.
Yeah,
out loud.
He has an office. It's like a crow's nest. It's like no one will ever have to walk by it. It's great.
I could hear them when they walk up, so no one ever walks in on me.
He's like,
I'm just
puts away the magazine, opens a window.
I put two computers up, so it looks like I'm doing double the amount of work.
Sure.
It's great.
I can't believe I've been wasting so much time responding to your emails. That's the last time I do that. All right, the other thing before we get to the main event of the day is I wanted to remind everybody that the TYT Book Club, we're still in our inaugural month. If you haven't signed up and joined the Facebook group that is dedicated to the book, how are you doing on Jane Mayer's book?
So
Dark Money.
I have a question on that. Are we supposed to just read as much as we can, or are we waiting to read a certain amount, then discuss?
No, we'll read the whole thing March 1st.
It's my birthday.
Congratulations.
I do the whole thing by
March 1st, yes.
It's 500 pages.
That's such a long book.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
Is it available as audiobook?
Let me tell you something about books like
you
that.
You can do that.
You know what it's about.
Yes.
You know what
I read
saying.
The first 10 pages. I'm kind of done.
Yeah, I'm right where you are. I didn't even know that was the book this month, but I have it.
Does it have anything to do with the Netflix series of the same title?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Is it Dark Money?
It's called Dark Money, and there's a picture of Martin Shkreli in the thumbnail, like...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, this is about...
the Koch brothers, Olin Foundation.
I think it's about the Koch brothers, too.
I don't know.
Steve, now you can just watch a Netflix series and you don't have to read it.
If Jane Mayer optioned the book for a Netflix series, then she's definitely not going to bother to come in for an interview. But hopefully that's not the case, and she will still do an interview with us. But the point is that you have to have read it. You don't have to have read it. You can read as much as you want, whatever, by March 1st. We want a lot of people to participate and enjoy the book club, and then we're going to have a new book for next month starting March 1st. Haven't figured out what that is yet, but just go over to Facebook and search for TYT Book Club, and you can find it there. And sign up! There. All right, we're ready to move on to the main event?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Kim's first time playing Weekly World News. I believe we have
an
intro.
I think I played it.
I'm ready now.
I don't think you...
Weekly World News. That's top-notch voiceover talent.
Can't believe you reincarnated Don Pardo for that.
Actually, that is so old, he was still alive. So, for those of you who don't know how Weekly World News is played, I call the globe for news stories that I think are noteworthy or interesting, but which weren't covered on the main show, which is not hard to find because we cover almost no international stories on the main show unless Trump is doing something international.
Wow, shots fired.
Oh, burn, sick.
Shots fired.
And then, because it's as a means of getting people to pay attention to these stories, I turn it into a little quiz where the participants in this case, Brett, Kim, and Steve. He's trying to cheat a little bit before we start.
He's keeping his company afloat is what he's doing.
You are sending me answers on my Twitter feed.
Oh, that's helpful. Yes. Yeah, I should have known you would cheat. We're supposed to cheat off you. You're the agent. So
me.
So that's.
I'm tired of this. Hoppers don't count as Asians narrative.
Hoppers count as Asians. That's what I say every day. Right before dinner.
I will have to cheat off of you as well. So the point being that the way it's played now, we've added the element that each of our the panelists will be playing for a different member, a TYT member,
as well as Asians.
No.
So who are they playing for?
I'm sorry.
Right, here we go. Look, I made a little graphic. Steve, you are going to be playing for BM3 Racer. Brett, you are playing for Megan E. Pearson.
BMX.
And Kim is playing for Jay Condi. Now, the way it works is if your participant wins, then you have to get in touch with us, support@tytnetwork.com. Let us know that you watched and you saw that you're the winner, and then you'll get a free t-shirt of your choice from shoptyt.com.
For the record, I've won every week since we started doing this.
If it's a tie, both or all three members will win. So we don't want to exclude anybody.
Did they pick us or were we randomly assigned?
I randomly picked them.
I would like to say.
Do you know them?
Nope.
Okay.
I will be so disappointing to Megan E. Pearson, the only person who cared enough to both capitalize and punctuate their name correctly.
And put a real name in.
Right.
And put a real name in, and here I am gonna fail you, and I apologize in advance.
Well, BM3 Racer is gonna win.
So you're preparing to not return emails, and you have an excuse for not returning emails and an excuse for not winning because the pressure is too much for you.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Let's do it.
As long as we understand. All right, the first question comes to us from Nigeria. Now, where is Nigeria? There it is. It's in Africa, of course. Is it the wealthiest nation in Africa? I'm not sure, but I think it's maybe the most populous. So what is the question, however? Question number one, the Boko Haram extremist group is widely suspected of doing what this past week? Is it A, abducting 50 young women from the government girls' secondary school? B, masterminding simultaneous suicide bombings in three Nigerian village marketplaces? C, attacking Yobe State Governor Ibrahim Gaydam's motorcade? Or D, paying trolls to publish anti-Hillary Clinton memes? And then we get music. You guys get a chance to think about it. And then you use these, of course, for your answers. Whatever you think the correct answer is. I got a Kim, Steve, and Brett. Thank you for all having different first names. Do we have our answers?
Yeah.
You should show the camera, everybody. We have an answer of A and A. What is the correct answer? Irma, it is A, abducting 50 young women in the government girls' secondary school. That is correct.
Do they do anything else besides abduct women?
That's what they do, right?
That's their thing.
That's their shtick. No, they also conduct suicide bombings. Okay. So yeah, don't try to pigeonhole Boko Haram.
They have a great webcast.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a number of
Twitch handle.
Yeah, a number of shows in production. So all right. So this actually, since I got this story 2 days ago, that it's been updated so that the number is 76 schoolgirls, or maybe I guess 78 who were abducted, and two of the young women were killed in this abduction, but they have all been returned. This is according to the Nigerian military, and this took place. It was a place called the Government Girls College in the town of Dapchi. I believe we have a text graphic. 12 vehicles carrying insurgents and heavy weaponry drove into the school campus, opened fire, and let off explosives. Students and teachers fled into the surrounding bush amid the ensuing chaos, and dozens have not been seen since. Authorities say they believe the extremists were not after the girls or their teachers, but raided the school seeking food supplies. And the the way it was described as the next text graphic by a woman who was involved. They were shooting guns and everyone was confused. Then we started running all confused, she told reporters. It was a young girl, I forgot her name. Speaking in the Hausa language, we saw some people pushing some of the students to enter their vehicles. Many of us are traumatized, she said, adding that the school had given students a 1 week break after the ordeal. But in all honesty, I am not willing to come back here because we are scared of what could happen to us in the future. And a few more, it's still very sketchy what the details of this story are and how many students may still be missing because they weren't sure how many students were at the school at the time and how many may have, you know, not maybe just returned to their villages or what have you. So they don't know an exact count. But this is 4 years after the notorious Bring Back Our Girls campaign when Boko Haram abducted 276 girls from a boarding school in the town of Chibok. And the girls were held in captivity for 3 years, many of whom were released in May of 2017. But what I thought was interesting about, one of the things that I thought was interesting about this story is that I think like 100 of the 276 girls who were initially abducted remain, they still haven't found them. They don't know where they are.
I don't like that at all.
Which is a shame. But the other thing that I found, I looked into the original story because I had sort of forgotten a lot of the details. And not only are a lot of them still missing, but 112, they think the 112 are still missing. And it's reflective of a kind of story that we like to do here on the Friday Post Game, the Weekly World News, where stories that sound like good news are actually bad news. Because I read that one newspaper article commented that the international publicity for the Chibok schoolgirls ironically made it more difficult to free the girls because a Nigerian military commander said that Boko Haram sees the girls as their trump card. They became a bigger negotiating chip because of all the notoriety. So all those people who were tweeting out Bring Back Our Girls and making a big deal about it, they may have actually made it more difficult for them to be recovered.
So I actually heard this report on NPR, and they were saying that the people are very frustrated because the government has maintained that they have a hand on Boko Haram, that Boko Haram has essentially been defeated and that they're toothless. And now this happened, and the reports coming out were inconsistent. Initially, they said they didn't take any of the girls, and they said they'd take a bunch, and that was not the case. And they said that they didn't want the girls, but that Boko Haram was so poor and starving, they wanted the food. So people don't quite know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, you get conflicting reports.
Yeah, so apparently this is all happening in the northwestern part of Nigeria, right. And it's just another instance of a government, in my opinion, engaging in covering their asses much more so than actually delivering services and information that's valuable and useful.
And at the same time, the Nigerian government is not—they're not as well healed as they were in the past because of the drop in oil prices, and their economy is based on oil. And
because of the
Niger Delta Avengers, of course, that we've talked about in the past on the Friday Post Game. But the other thing that I didn't remember at the time—the deal that the 82 schoolgirls who were released back in 2017, they exchanged 3 million euros, which is about $3.7 million, as the ransom money in two duffel bags they paid for them. So it's one of these questions of, do you negotiate with terrorists? Because if that isn't going to encourage them to potentially do this more, but apparently they did not take these girls, but it's
well,
upsetting.
Hopefully the leaders of Wakanda will go and help these people out.
Good. I've heard it did exist somewhere in the hills. I watched the movie.
All right.
It was so good. It was so good.
Really? Was it?
I loved it.
Are white people allowed to go yet?
No.
No.
I'm still pretty afraid of getting beat up.
Mm-hmm. By who? Malcolm?
By Asians.
Well, after they heard what I said earlier about cheating off Steve, the Hapa community is going to be out to get me for sure.
We're very well organized.
All right, next.
All right, next story comes to us.
How's everybody feeling on a scale of 1 to alienated?
We're going to Bahrain. There's Bahrain. It's a tiny, tiny but very wealthy nation.
Make it Bahrain.
And the question is as follows. What news took place this past week involving prominent Bahraini human rights activist Nabil Rajab? Was it A, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for criticizing the Bahraini government? B, he was extradited from Qatar to Bahrain to face treason charges? C, he was named as a winner of the 2018 Stockholm Human Rights Award? Or D, he was blamed by Republicans for the Parkland, Florida school shooting? Well, different music. Bart's throwing us a curve.
I want to see how Bart finds the
It's all in his head.
He finds it quite delightful. Uh-oh.
All right, we have answers? We have answers?
I fucked up.
I want answers.
You might
we have an
have.
Answer of B. You gotta, remember, you got to come back. We've got B, A, and B. What is the correct answer,
Bab.
Irma?
Bab.
It is A.
Oh! Oh! She's coming from
behind. You got to let me read it, Irma. A, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for criticizing the Bahraini government. Kim jumps out to the lead. All right. So,
she's off the hopper.
She's so smug. Look at her.
She's so happy. Look at her.
Elites.
I've never seen Kim so happy as she is right at this moment.
You're responsible for her happiness.
How happy are you when you beat Dave Coleman?
I love it.
Yes, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Woo! Suck it. All right, so his name is Nabil Rajab, and he's actually a really inspiring story, this guy. Edwin's clapping over there.
No, I think
flies.
He saw a bug.
I know, but I thought you were applauding. He gets one clap for Nabil Rajab. So, yes, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison over tweets alleging prison torture in his country and misconduct in Saudi Arabia's war in Yemen, despite wide international criticism of his trial. These are images from the Arab Spring in 2012 in Bahrain when people were out in force to protest the Bahraini government, and it was there was a harsh crackdown. I stole that image, obviously, from Alami.
I thought that was on that guy's shirt.
Yeah. Ooh, like, he's a big fan of that photo service.
That one guy has a great A on his head.
So, yeah, he's only in his 50s, but he's got terrible health problems. But he's an inspiring figure, and I hope he does. If he hasn't won awards, I hope he does, because he's a real human rights activist and an inspiration. But let's go to the first text graphic, please, Irma. Bahrain's constitution guarantees its citizens freedom of speech. However, Rajab was prosecuted under laws making it illegal to offend a foreign country, spread rumors at wartime, or insult a government agency.
What?
Yeah, really. This is a little broad, isn't it? And open to interpretation. Go to the next one. Responding to questions from the Associated Press, the government of Bahrain's National Communications Center said Rajab's conviction did not in any way relate to any political views he may hold. Bahrain's commitment to protecting the security of the nation and its citizens is absolute, the center said in an email. Nabil Rajab was found guilty of undermining that security. So he has criticized, so Amnesty International called for his release and said it was a sham, and other human rights organizations have done so. The Trump administration, they have responded, but they were also been criticized. Next text graphic, Irma. It's time the Trump administration showed some spine in standing up to the dictatorship in Bahrain, said Brian Dooley, a senior advisor at the U.S.-based group Human Rights First. It should take punitive action over this verdict, then send the American ambassador to visit Rajab in prison to tell him that the U.S. is on his side and against this reckless repression. So Bahrain is an ally of Saudi Arabia. They are part of the coalition that is devastating Yemen right now. You can come back, Irma, thanks. And this guy has a long rap sheet of protesting the government that dates back to prior to the Arab Spring. He was considered a ringleader of the Arab Spring movement in Bahrain and was in prison for that, and has been in and out of prison for various crimes, according to Bahrain. So, but I won't get into the whole history, but I will note that Bahrain hosts over 7,000 U.S. troops, and Donald Trump's administration has approved a multi-billion-dollar sale of F-16 fighter jets to Bahrain without the human rights conditions imposed by the State Department under President Barack Obama. And there was a State Department spokeswoman who said that the American officials were disappointed by his recent conviction. This talking about Najib. We continue to have conversations with the government of Bahrain about our very serious concerns, she said. And I think she's really sincere. I think the State Department is really going to go all out for him, because Trump, if there's one thing Donald Trump and his administration care about, it's human rights abuses.
Now, Malcolm, that's a ridiculous thing to say. I've seen it borne out the opposite under this current administration.
Ooh, we're going
to
get a charged political debate here on the Friday Post game.
I think you are using satire. And I'm right, apparently.
Anyway, if you look up his history and read about him, he's a really inspiring figure, and it's disappointing. He seems very good-natured about going to prison. He was smiling at all the photos that were taken of him afterwards. I guess he probably had some idea that they were going to convict him.
So I'm just amazed by these people. You live in Bahrain, you're going to go to prison, and it seems like all the stuff that he's doing is largely pointless, not going to work, and he's just sacrificing his personal liberties. And, you know, I just admire them so deeply, because someone's got to do it. Someone's got to take charge and try to make their society better.
Against right? incredible odds.
Incredible odds.
Especially a place like Bahrain that has no, yeah. they don't make any really
they
claims. I mean, like the BS yeah. claims they were making
I mean,
aside.
They could just take him into a prison and just beat the crap out of him. They can kill him. They can do whatever they want.
Well, one of the times he was arrested, a group of like 20 men, masked men, came and broke into his apartment, took him and kidnapped him, brought him out, and they threatened him. They were going to rape him, and they said they were going to make him, record him saying positive things about the king. And it's, I mean, so I'm sure he thought they were going to kill him in situations like that. There's no question. And yet he still does it. It is incredibly admirable.
What's the thought process of, like, we need, how many guys do we need to go pretend to, you know, tell this guy we're going to rape him and take him out of his house? Is 15 enough? No, not this guy. We're going to need 20 guys in masks.
It's like socialism. You know, you got to find jobs for everybody.
Yeah,
so, and there's all kinds of brothers-in-law. And this is, you know, it's because it's Bahrain is, you know, there's a king. And it's one of these, prince, or I don't know what the term for it is, but
Emirate.
They've got, you know, he's got 8,000 nephews, just like the Saudi family. You know, there are a lot of royals that they got to keep occupied, and sons-in-laws and all those people. I'm sure they were, you know, that's one way to keep them busy, beat up protesters.
And you know, people do this at all levels. So this guy has some level of notoriety, but there are other people who just do this same stuff in obscurity. They get no credit for it and no real upside to their sacrifices, and it's heartbreaking.
He did get that segment on the post-game show.
Yeah, and you know, at the Oslo Freedom
Looks
Forum,
like you made it.
I meet some of these folks, and they're just incredibly inspiring. I don't know, it makes me feel like I'm wasting my life away. Sitting here with you guys.
I can vouch for that same. I feel the same way. When you start talking like that, I'm like, I've never done anything remotely that noble.
Nothing.
Yeah,
or
I've given some money
selfless.
Here and there, but I've never done anything that's a hardship for me personally.
I donated to St. Jude's Children's Charity, and they've spent that much trying to get me to donate again. And I had that thought. I was like, you idiots, you stupid children's charity. You're wasting my money sending me
when you
envelopes.
Got the $15 from me. You should just quit with
what
your
is,
head.
What would it take to make you actually do something? And by you, I'm also talking about myself. Like, what do you think it would take for you to do something similar to this person that we're talking about in this segment? Would you ever?
I don't know. I don't know if I have it in me.
You have to like lose so much.
Yeah.
Malcolm would do it.
I need to see a realistic and tangible pathway from here to there. Like, if I make the sacrifice, then I get there. If there's no realistic way of getting there, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, participate in a march, then that is like about volume and getting enough people out there. But there are going to be people out there. You feel like you are with people, you'll make a day of it. But like, going to prison in a country like that, what the hell? Though, it is a disproportionate effect if it's one person who makes waves and news like this. So
it's very inspiring, but I think that when you, I don't know how much what your experience is, but I find that, you know, when there's a protest or something, I'm thinking about going, I'm like, oh, it's a Saturday, I could be doing it, but no, I'll go because it's important. And I go, and having gone, I feel much better about myself. And I'm not anything like this guy. It's incredible what he's done. But I used to be active with the East Timor Action Network in Washington, D.C., and every year on the anniversary of a certain massacre, we would protest at the Indonesian embassy, and there were like 15 of us, and other important anniversaries. So two or three times a year we would go, and there was no end game really. That like there was no way we didn't see there was no way the Indonesian government was going to respond to us. But these guys would come out in nice suits who looked Indonesian, come out of the embassy and come take our photo, and that made me think.
So
hey,
you don't travel to Indonesia for fun often.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that means.
But
you're like in the TSA of Indonesia, being like, do not let this person
no,
in.
No, 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 no. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in.
You let him out.
And we'll take care of him.
Yeah. We have an express lane over here.
But it was we did it and didn't think that it was really. I mean, we had hoped, but there was no real image that this was going to materialize.
Yeah.
But eventually it did. The East Timorese got their freedom from Indonesia, so it happens.
Thanks to Malcolm.
No, I had very, very tiny little bit to do with it.
You
but
did it, Malcolm.
Yeah, I did it. But no, but my point is that it's actually, it's energizing. It makes you feel really good about yourself to go out and do things like that. I have found, even when I'm reluctant to do it at first. But nothing like what Nabil Rajab has done. All right, let's move on to the next question. It comes to us from where? That's what I want to know. Oh, the UK. And the question is as follows. I said the UK instead of England because I couldn't find a map like that just of England. Labour MPs are decrying the British government's controversial sale of what? Is it A, £60 million worth of Starburst surface-to-air missiles to Turkey? B, 150,000 pounds worth of surveillance equipment to the Philippines. C, 7.5 million pounds worth of copper mining machinery to Myanmar. Or D, limited edition ebony and ivory Prince Harry and Meghan Markle figurines.
You are ebony and ivory.
But Meghan isn't totally ebony.
Yeah, she's half.
She's like,
well, maybe that's why they're objecting to it.
That's not what that means.
What's happening? I don't know what that means. I thought Hoppe just meant half.
It kind of does.
Thank you. Good morning.
I thought it meant just half Japanese and half.
It's kind of controversial what it means. Oh, yeah. It could mean half Hawaiian as well.
Okay, come back to us so we can see what our answers are. We have an answer of C, an answer of B, and an answer of B. What is the correct answer, Irma? It is B.
Oh!
Irma, 150,000 pounds worth of surveillance equipment to the Philippines. Kim and Brett. Oh.
My apologies to BM3 Racer. I dishonor you.
Steve's showing his age. Okay, so this is about Rodrigo Duterte.
Yeah,
it's always
the Philippine president.
Who is protesting a 150,000 pound sale? Who cares? It's like nothing.
That's like,
yeah, but they don't want to support him.
Whatever. I'm at Myanmar.
I think that surveillance much worse. Equipment because it's like, oh, so he can actually see people and then kill them.
What about the made up money they're not actually sending to the mining equipment? They're not sending to Myanmar.
So you're saying C is not true? That's not happening? That's good.
Not as far as I know.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay, so. It's about 150,000 pounds of high-tech spying equipment that was sent to the Philippines, giving Duterte the tools to hunt down and kill dealers and addicts as part of his brutal war on drugs, which, whether it's really a war on drugs or just a war on the poor, who's to say. So it includes equipment that you can use to eavesdrop on telephone conversations and other surveillance tools for the internet. And Duterte, this is interesting, has admitted to authorizing the wiretapping of at least two mayors whom he accused of being narco-politicians, including the Ozamiz city mayor, Reynaldo Parajanag. And Parajanag and 14 other people were killed in a police raid on his home last July. So this guy's the mayor of a town, and Duterte says, you're a drug dealer, and we're going to go and we're just going to kill you and everybody in your home. It's pretty shocking. We have a text graphic. First one, there's Rodrigo.
Read my finger.
Does he get along with Trump?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They respect each other.
They grab each other.
There's this weird thing happening around the world where it's like Trump and Duterte and Erdogan.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm Putin, a piece of shit.
They're all like autocratic, buds hanging out together.
Yeah. Oh, I like that show. I'd watch that show.
That's a good show.
That sounds like a Comedy Central show waiting.
That's the one that's in development that we were talking about before. So okay, the British Labour MP Lloyd Russell Moyle, a member of the committees on arms export controls. Don't mention that Moyle is somebody who
snip, yeah. My friends.
That's what I thought.
Welcome to
Judaism. Not spelled that way. Accused the UK government of enabling Duterte's violent hunt, which makes us complicit in the deaths of thousands of Filipinos.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Brett.
He added,
I didn't mean to laugh at the deaths of Filipinos. Brett's making dick motions.
He's making actually snip, whatever. This sad case shows that our arms export control regime is broken. The government is failing in its basic legal duty. And
duty.
Then, yeah, there you go, of course. These exports appear to be in violation of UK law, which states that the government must not issue an export license if there's a clear risk that the proposed export might be used for internal repression. The UK government, by the way, has sold such equipment also to Saudi Arabia, Turkey, our friends in Bahrain, and Egypt. So they're equal opportunity.
Fruit of the poison tree.
Yes. So we have one more text graphic. In July 2016, or by July 2016, when the kit was sold, Duterte had already made several brazen statements about his intention to use all means necessary to brutally crack down on anyone associated with drugs. Speaking at his final campaign rally in April 2016, he said, "Forget the laws on human rights. If I make it to the presidential palace, I will do just what I did as mayor. You drug pushers, hold up men and do nothings, you better go out because I'd kill you, I'll dump all of you into Manila Bay and fatten all the fish there."
That seems like an environmental hazard.
Even the do not, just for doing nothing.
Not really, it's just kind of recycling, it's a circle of life. But apparently people love this kind of attitude, like, I'm gonna kill people.
Some people do.
They love it.
I talked about this, a story similar to saying, hey, maybe don't kill everyone on the main show, and then I got all these comments later on my personal Facebook page, which never happens, about a story I did that said like, hey, bitch, mind your own business, you don't know anything.
I don't
killing
like,
is cool.
They make a good point.
Killing is the best.
They, you know, they make a good point. You know, I gotta, really can't argue with their with their reasoning.
Yeah. You're stupid. After my research, I've determined you're
killing
stupid.
Killing is great.
So I read this insane article about this Filipino woman who has now become an assassin. Mm-hmm. So her husband was employed by the local police sergeant or whoever to go and just assassinate people who were either drug dealers or more often they just didn't pay their debt. So the husband would just go and shoot him in the head or kill him somehow. But then they needed a woman to do this other job, for I forget why. So the husband asks her, do you want to just do it? So she's like, okay. And they're poor, so this is how they make a living. So,
husbands and wives should never work together, by the way. This is a bad idea.
So this is like an unsexy version of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah. So she goes and she pretends to be like a server serving this guy some drink, some food. And then when he's eating, she pulls out a gun and shoots him in the head.
She should have just poisoned him.
Ah, that's what you should do. Take it from him.
She's done five assassinations. And this is her new life. It's crazy, no?
It is crazy.
I bet what would really be shocking is how little they probably get paid to do it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much money these people who are being murdered owe. So the whole thing is crazy.
Not enough to keep them alive. Yeah. You know what I mean? If they owed enough, you'd want to keep them alive so you can get that money.
Well, what you do is there's a number of people who owe you money and aren't paying you back, and you kill the one who owes you the least first.
Yep. So the others are scared.
That's how I used to do it.
Malcolm.
You and I have lots of killing tips for being two people opposed to killing.
Yes.
I value human life. I don't know about you guys. So if you have a different opinion, I get it.
So Duterte, anyway, since becoming president in 2016, at least 12,000 people have been killed as part of his war on drugs. And many of the killings carried out by police officers. So we got a ways to go here in the United States to catch up with them. Or even, I don't think police killed quite. No, I don't know. What are the numbers? We
due process
per capita.
Like don't process.
Yeah, it's like take your human rights and out the window. And the revelation that Britain was supplying Duterte with spying equipment comes just weeks after the International Criminal Court announced it was looking into evidence that the president has committed crimes against humanity. So maybe they will stop. But
evidence? He brags about it.
It seems like, yeah, that's right.
Our president brags about ending investigations.
It's a short trial. All right, so our next story, we go to Venezuela. There's Venezuela. And what is the question? That's what everybody wants to know.
We're back.
On Tuesday, Venezuela became the first country to do what? Is it A, ban plastic bags, B, grant citizenship to a robot, C, issue its own cryptocurrency, or D, pay Fergie to never sing their national anthem? You may be noticing a pattern with the D answers, Kim.
They're always fun.
They're always true.
Quick on the update.
Go with D.
All right, we have our answers, I think.
Yes.
What do we got? We got C, an A, and a C. What is the correct answer, Irma? It is
A. It couldn't be
C. Issue its own crypto.
I had a lot of reasons.
It's called the Petro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, two of the wild problems with their currency.
I feel like Dubai or someone just was the first to grant citizenship.
It's a total freaking scam.
And plastic is a petroleum product, so why the hell would they ban it? That's their GDP.
It was Saudi Arabia that was the first country to ban or to grant citizenship to a robot. I didn't see any more about the story, but because I was too busy with this.
I knew it wasn't that one.
I should have told you. I was just so scared to win this freaking game.
Yeah. All right, so what do we know? So, Nicolas Maduro is the president of...
He's known as a dancing bear.
Venezuela.
Oh.
He's got better hair than his predecessor.
And he loves dancing.
He's a big guy. Yeah. He's a bear of a man. He looks more like Stalin. And so they've issued this cryptocurrency. It's called the Petro. It is ostensibly backed by the oil reserves of Venezuela.
Oil that has not yet been refined or even
taken
out of
the ground.
Yeah.
Back. It's a little. This whole thing is
backed by anything.
This whole thing is very sketchy. But in its first hours on the market, the so-called Petro racked up $735 million worth of purchases, according to Nicolas Maduro, who did not provide any evidence or details beyond that.
Oh, like how Netflix does his ratings.
Yeah, you could be right about that. So this is, it's basically, as far as we can tell, a means of getting a hard currency into Venezuela because you are not allowed to use the Venezuelan currency to buy the Petro. So they're looking to get backing or investment from abroad. They want hard currency, and this is their way of doing it. People apparently are buying some, but who knows? It was unveiled in front of a live studio audience that we showed there inside the presidential palace Miraflores, complete with red carpets and a splashy set, prominently displaying a crafted marketing symbol P for Petro. We saw that also. We have a text graphic, Irma, please. Maduro received a brief demonstration on the sophisticated computer technology needed to support the digital currency, which I'm sure he understood perfectly well. And he heard from a Russian executive of a company that will run the platform. Wait a minute, Russians? The president also authorized payments in cryptocurrency for Venezuela's consulate services and fuel on the border, saying it is just the kryptonite Venezuela needs to take on Superman, code for the imperialist United States.
You can't say Superman and as a code and then say what it's a code for. It's like,
that's fair.
Maybe it's lost in the translation.
Yeah.
It was probably in Spanish.
My PIN number is 5578. Code for my, and then you say it. I'm not gonna tell people.
Yeah, yeah,
you wouldn't do it. That'd
be stupid. Yeah,
Bosco.
All right, so a lot of people, you know, so there are some people who are excited about this because they're involved in cryptocurrency, they're invested, and they see this as a step in the further legitimization of cryptocurrency. There are others who are skeptical because it's the Venezuelan government and the country is out of money and they have hyperinflation and it just looks like it's just a scheme. But we'll see. They're poor, the country's poor. The Venezuelan minimum wage hovers around $3 a month. So not a whole lot of Venezuelans are gonna be able to buy Petros. And if you're an American citizen, you're not allowed to buy them either because the United States Treasury Department has warned that buying Petro would violate sanctions against Venezuela that we have in place. But it's there are some people who are
think of it as kryptonite.
Yes, there you go.
Kryptonite currency.
And
it's on a roll.
No,
but it turns out that actually Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency are already being used in Venezuela at a higher rate than in other countries because the country is so poor and so the hyperinflation and their currency has been devalued so much. So we'll see what will happen. I predict.
So real quick, speaking of cryptocurrencies, have you guys gotten this letter in the mail? It's a physical letter, not an email. It's a scam, but it's actually pretty. I don't know if it's successful, but it's well thought out. So I get this letter in the mail. So it has my name and my address on it, and the letter says, I know what you've been up to. I have evidence, and I will share this with your wife unless you pay me 8,100 bitcoins. Okay.
Isn't that like 80 grand?
I don't know. It's a lot.
No, it can't be 8,100 bitcoins.
Yes, it's 8,100 bitcoins.
No, it's 800 grand.
Yeah. So then there's like this elaborate instructions on how to get the bitcoins and where to send it. And it says, by the way, if you want to go to the cops, go right ahead, but that just means I'm going to expose you to all of your neighbors because I know where you live, right?
I think it's $80 million, actually.
I'm not actually sure how much
Bitcoin is about 10,000 right times 8,000.
I don't know. It says 8,100 bitcoins. or maybe it was $8,100 in Bitcoin.
Oh, okay, that's something
like that.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
and so
a fraction of it.
So my wife opened this. She's like, what have you done? I was like, so anyway, so we quickly researched it. It turns out that this is a scam that's going around, obviously.
This is a really elaborate way.
Yeah, and based on zip code, they give you a different amount that they're trying to scam you for.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. It's a better zip code, you get scammed for more money.
This is a stupid idea, though, because people who are likely to be, checking their physical mail, they might be older and not know what Bitcoin is.
Yeah, and not be able
that's
to actually
really,
buy
that's why I had really, really elaborate instructions on how to do it.
Because, most people don't know how to buy Bitcoin.
I didn't know how to buy it, but it gave me like a page and a half instruction on how to buy it and where to send it. So
that's messed
up. You just cut out the threat part and the where to send it part, and you're like, oh, now I know how to buy Bitcoin
that's
at least.
Right.
So there's a lot of families in America right now where it's like, listen, the wife is like, I know you bought Bitcoin at $18,000. Yeah. I am pissed off. That's what I know.
So this reminded me of the story that you told me or told on the show about how in the 80s, cops in D.C. were going to gay clubs.
Oh, yeah.
And just looking at cars that had like some evidence of being a family man.
If there were parked cars near gay clubs in D.C., and I think it was in Southeast D.C., they looked for car seats in the back seats. And then they would run the plate. And if it was a, you know, so they, and then they would solicit the husband or the father and say, I know you've been going to this gay club, I'm going to out you to your wife if you don't pay me X number of dollars. It's pretty clever.
It is really clever. Yeah, those are weird scams where you're like, that is terrible, but really smart.
Yeah, like, but it's like, but I lived in the DC area, and let me tell you, the DC police didn't put this sort of industry into solving crimes.
No, why would they? It's more paperwork.
I can tell you that right now. Yeah. All right, they're going to kick us out soon, so let's get to the last question, which comes to us from China. China.
I have an advantage, I'm full Asian.
It's 3-3, Brett and Kim. Tied. What is the question, though, Irma?
Ooh, if Brett and I get this wrong and Steve gets it right, it'll be a three-way tie.
Yeah, you might want to throw t-shirts. Chinese authorities are launching a crackdown against strippers performing at what occasions? Is it A, university graduations?
I know what this is.
B, funerals? Well, don't let anybody see then, Kim.
I think Brett saw it.
C, store openings, or D, bar mitzvahs?
Don't look at my answer, Steve.
You do get credit.
Oh, you've got it.
I mean, if you know, I think you actually know. Yeah. So we have. What does Brett says B, Kim says B, Steve says C. What is the correct answer, Irma? It is B.
Oh, Brett can win.
I even heard this on the radio. I don't know. I almost see.
Yeah, I heard it too, but it was a while.
It doesn't matter anyway because I had to go with a different.
Yeah, with any consolation, you couldn't win. Yeah,
we wrecked your record.
But they're 4 out of 5 in these two, huh? No, check out the brains on Kim and Brett.
This is why I don't want them on the show. Dave Kohler, I could beat Dave.
We're smarter than anyone.
We're smarter than
it's because you guys are younger and you're more tuned to this internet thing.
The terrible thing is the two that you got right, you actually knew.
I actually knew.
That's
Steve is the worst guesser. It's really terrible. It's like you got an advantage. You already know for sure 2 of them, and 2 out of 5 it is. Yeah. So this has been going on in China for a while.
I knew this one too. Yeah, but I got it wrong.
You knew 3 of the 5 answers ahead of time. You got 2 right.
And I know why. It's so that they could give the departed a farewell gift. You know.
Well, so maybe.
I don't know.
So it mostly happens in rural areas, these funeral strippers. The Ministry of Culture said last month that it was targeting striptease and other obscene, pornographic, and vulgar performances at funerals, weddings, and traditional Chinese New Year public gatherings. And this has been going, they've been clamping down, trying to clamp down on this.
What is she wearing?
The right stuff, Kim, the right stuff.
That's hideous.
Almost worth dying for.
Well,
in that culture, maybe that's really hot. Who knows?
It is. That culture called being a human?
No.
Good morning.
That one's a little better.
That one's better.
Yeah, if you look up, this is the kind of story that everybody wants to cover because they can run these sort of photos. So there's plenty of news on this one. So they've been clamping down on these so-called obscene performances since 2006. This is the latest effort to do so. It's focused on 19 cities across 4 provinces. And apparently some communities in rural China believe that bigger attendances at funerals help to honor the dead and bring them good fortune. And how are you going to get the asses in the seats? By shaking a little ass, of course.
Nice, Malcolm.
There it is.
Wow, that was so good, Malcolm. Yes, Malcolm, you got it.
Do not invite
the pun.
Back.
Good.
Stop it. Yeah. Oh my God.
This is awful. So,
you need to put that part out.
But some experts say the erotic shows pay tribute to fertility. Irma, first text graphic, please. According to the interpretation of cultural anthropology, the fet is originated from the worship of reproduction, media professor Quang Haiyan said, according to the Global Times. Therefore, the erotic performance at the funeral is just a cultural atavism. I'm not sure how that professor was speaking clear English there, but nor am I. So, but the new campaign involves people being offered financial rewards to contact a special hotline to report funeral misdeeds. So you can rat out your friends and neighbors if they hire a stripper for a funeral. You can make a little scratch for yourself. And so,
isn't that what funerals are all about?
Sure. But the media has often blamed the shows on the increasing decadence and materialism of Chinese families as the country opens up to the West. One more text graphic, I think we have, Irma. In recent decades, the Global Times said on Tuesday, Chinese rural households are more inclined to show off their disposable incomes by paying out several times their annual income for actors, singers, comedians, and most recently, strippers, to comfort the bereaved and entertain the mourners. Listen, if I'm dying, rent me the stripper before I die.
Yeah.
I don't want to be comfort. Don't comfort me in the afterlife. I mean, generally, actually, don't at all. But if you're gonna, if you insist.
What if we take a video of the stripper giving your corpse a lap dance?
I think that would be
funny.
Would
that make it worth it?
I think that's the kind of edge that needs to be taken off. Like, if you can take the edge off a funeral, you do it that way. I think that'd be funny.
It'll be like a New Orleans funeral, but more.
Speaking of getting you a stripper, I've heard that when rigor mortis, well, whatever, anyway, we won't get into that.
Well, you know, Jonathan, cue the stripper. We brought one in for today for Malcolm, because he's still alive, by all accounts.
So, okay, so who won? Can we bring back that graphic, Irma, who, if we can demonstrate
the names of the
winners. We have two winners.
Like, what are you talking
Do you remember
about?
Them?
Megan E. Pearson
and Jay Conde. I'm sorry, BM3 Razor, but you backed the wrong horse. Well, you backed the nag.
I am so sorry.
But that's all right. We still love you, Steve.
Hey.
It's my first loss ever.
You too.
Thank you.
First loss ever. Yeah, when it's just you, when Dave's not here, usually you win.
Don't invite the kids.
So how much time do we have? Can we keep going, or we got to get out of here? We got a little more time? We got 4 minutes. All right, let's get to Totally True or Totally Bullshit while we have time. Please, Irma.
That's a cool graphic.
It's awesome. Tim Collins did that for us back when he was doing things.
He doesn't do graphics anymore.
No, he doesn't. He had to retire. He's like, I'm going to retire undefeated.
Too bad I did. Yeah, that was a great graphic. I really liked it.
Me too.
It reminded me of a Statham flick.
All right, so the first one, Irma, please. Do we know how to play? Wait, before you bring it up, in case you don't know at home,
totally.
I will put forward a proposition, and those of us here on the panel will have to state whether we find that proposition A, totally true, or B, totally bullshit. And, okay, well, let's go on then. Wait, I didn't even get to say our tagline, here at Totally True or Totally Bullshit is, we don't do nuance, just like former President George Bush. And then we proceed often to do nuance. All right, go ahead, bring it up, Irma. Thank you. The Parkland, Florida school shooting marks a major turning point in gun policy in this country. Totally true or totally bullshit? I put it to you, Brett, because you're going to talk first anyway.
Totally bullshit. I already know it. The turning point we expected from Marco Rubio was just him saying, I learned that more bullets people have, the more people they can kill. It's like, you didn't learn anything. You're just saying this, and just like bump stocks, it'll all go away.
All right, you say totally bullshit. Kim, what do you say?
I did a video kind of on this topic today, which you approved of, which I think it's the beginning of a major turning point, because in this one, we've seen the so-called crisis actors, or the kids who have been witness to horrible carnage and trauma of their own peers and being called liars and actors and whatever. And these kids are going to be a voting age pretty soon, and I'm really psyched for that. I think what they've done by this victim mentality, this constant victim mentality, which I gave many examples of, which is to create a very anti-GOP generation. And I'm really excited for them to vote.
All right, so Kim is optimistic, sanguine in the prospects of gun policy changing. Steve, totally true or totally bullshit?
I'm usually very, very pessimistic on these things, but on this one, I'm with Kim. I do think this is going to mark a turning point, and I say that with great optimism. These kids, first of all, that's a smart school, I think. Sometimes, schools are not as good or whatever, but these kids seem to be really on it. They're articulate, they're knowledgeable, they're inspiring, and I don't think they're going to quit after a week or two.
They're
unflappable. They're all getting into Harvard, by the way.
Yes.
Every last damn one of them is getting into Harvard.
I think they've ignited a fire across the country with other children. Look, whenever there's a movement and you get to, walk out of school for it, it's always helpful. And kids want to do it all over the country. And this is something that we all largely agree with. It's just a small minority of people who think we should have, unlimited access to any weapon imaginable. I mean, this is crazy talk, right? I mean, when I hear people say stupid stuff like guns don't kill people, people kill people, I want to say nukes don't kill people, people kill people. Let's just give everyone a nuke. Kim Jong-un, you can have a nuke, that's fine. Because if you take that away from him, he'll just find other missiles to kill us with. It doesn't matter,
Stab us with a knife.
Yes.
Assault weapons were banned for a decade, and one of the people who was supportive of that wrote a letter to support the banning of it was Ronald frickin' Reagan. Reagan wanted assault weapons banned. Let's ban assault weapons. It's not like the NRA changes into a discussion of how old you need to be before you buy one. Let's go back to the thing people already agreed on a decade, in 1994, and ban the frickin' assault weapons.
There's no such thing as an assault weapon. That's not a real term, Brett. If you knew anything about guns, you wouldn't say that.
Let's ban the AR 15s. You know what we need to do is we need to invent one that's a fake gun, but it's called an AR-16, and tell them all they need to upgrade to it. And they'll be like, oh, did you get the AR-16 yet? I got that one, and then it won't work.
Well, I find it's interesting that my point about saying that it's not, there's no such thing as an assault weapon is the gun rights supporters, I'll call them, tend to be real sticklers for getting all this stuff right about, you know, weaponry. And if you don't understand the terminology, then obviously right. You can't.
We need
I want to see them apply the same level of be consistent with their interesting grammar.
They should be called gun rights. They're gun nuts. Okay, they're nuts about it. Okay? Think we should have no regulation whatsoever. That's crazy talk. So here's what I don't want. I don't want like a little tiptoeing around the edges of gun control, because what that does is it. It's not going to work. And then they're going to turn and say, see, gun control doesn't work at all. Let's get rid of all regulation. Over the last, like, 10 years, even, you know, under Obama, it's not really his fault, I don't think. But it's just our culture. We glorify the guns and everything. Guns are always cool. But the problem is gun rights have been massively expanded. So now you can't ban guns in national parks. You can't ban guns on many, many college campuses. They passed a law in Florida that prevented a pediatrician from speaking about gun safety to children. He can talk about, you know, don't drown in pools, be water safe, you know, be careful with prescription drugs. But you can't talk about be safe with guns. That's insanity.
They decided to call pornography a health hazard in Florida state assembly meeting, but they did not even vote to have a conversation.
Yes.
All right, we're not debating gun, you know, whether gun control is a good idea.
I think
we're just debating whether it's going to happen. We got to wrap it up.
It's going to happen because I feel like they've way overstepped what's reasonable.
You think they've overplayed their hand?
There's going to be a pushback.
Okay, yeah. I'm going with Brett. I'm saying totally bullshit, but I hope you're right. I hope you guys are right.
I hope you're right too.
And I hope that you guys at home chime in, let us know what you think in the comments below. We'd love to hear. And if you have any totally true or totally bullshit suggestions for us, share them as well. We'd love to hear that also. Thank you so much for participating. I'm not sure why Brett is so proud of the Dodgers.
Okay.
He's got to represent. And so have a great weekend. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, I like to say, stay strong.